Okay, here we go, everyone. And we are live. Welcome tonight to our Tuesday night celebration of life. Those of you who are on the telephone this evening, if you'd like to text a message as we're going through this process, text to 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. If you're on Ustream with us live, just go on to your Ustream account and participate in the chat. I'll be keeping my eye on it this evening to see if anyone has a question that we can address. Last week, we started with the very first quality of an intentional creator. It was art of connection. We go through the art of connection and using our mind constructively, our great gift of vivid visualization, using it constructively to ignite passion. And then we go into the quality of physical creation, where we bring our passion to the work. So we work without counting the cost or tracking the time, mission, vision, purpose-driven, and not just doing work as boring, mundane, repetitious, and hard. Same work, just a different come from or in the middle of it. Then we're going to take on discipline and structure. That will be an interesting moment. And then join the journey. And lastly, self-esteem. Our mission is to assist you in bringing these principles into your life and putting them into practice so that you can find more happiness and joy. As Og says, in this world of strife and sorrow, I'll be happier than I ever thought possible. I thought it was interesting when I first recognized those last words. I was focusing on my desire to overcome every fear I once knew at sunrise, and I'll be happier than I ever imagined possible. For some reason, for a number of years, I left out in my mind the last bit, in this world of strife and sorrow. In other words, the world doesn't change. We just choose to show up different in the world. That's what these principles are about. We get to be a shining light. We get to create in spite of any firestorm that may be occurring. And the very first principle we want to learn is how to connect with people. This is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. We want to keep this relatively simple. We can get caught up in this and make it far too complicated. And I sometimes wonder if the complication doesn't come from our hesitancy to let go of a safety net. That safety net is focusing on us. Why do I feel this way? You know, this happened to me when I was young, and this happened to me in a relationship, and this happened to me later in life, and I had a financial crisis, or something's happened that's created these challenges, and I don't know that I want to let go of those safety nets. Because if I do, I'm going to be somewhat naked to the world. Well, if we're still looking at ourselves, that's true. If we're going to start practicing the greatest secret of success, which is shifting to and focusing on the needs of others, it's no longer about us. We get to take a big sigh of relief. We don't need to wallow in our pain, nor do we need to feel naked in the world, because it's not about us. It's about serving others. So just keep that in mind. If you're feeling confusion around this topic, just step back and say, what is it that I don't want to let go of? What is it that I've been dragging around in my sack that we talked about last week that I've identified with? How will I justify my physical appearance if I let go of my excuse for being this way? And I can say that because those of you on the camera know that I'm working on that very challenge, physical conditioning and weight control. How can I do this if I fail and I can't blame it on my education or lack of education? What happens then? And all these things that have been in our sack are not only burdensome to drag around, exhausting to drag around, they've also been our excuses, our reasons for not succeeding. So if we're making it complicated, it's generally around our reluctance to look, our reluctance to let go, our reluctance to move forward. However, this is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. And our success or failure is dependent on this. Absolutely so. Og makes this very clear in scroll number 2. He ends the scroll with that very comment. He says, and scroll at the very end, he said, I have no other qualities. I can succeed with love, this agape love, this awareness alone. Without it, I will fail. I will fail. Though I possess all the knowledge and skills of the world, I can keep going to school, I can keep getting degrees, I can keep going to trainings. But until I'm willing to make this one shift, I will fail. Long term, I'll fail. And failure doesn't always mean that I won't make money. It just means I won't be happy. Because I can't make enough to fill this void that comes when we are focused on ourselves. And we've grown up in a world where we're conditioned to focus on ourselves. This is a very difficult thing to face because many of us, in the way we've conducted our relationships and our businesses, it has been about our needs, our desires. Or if we felt like we've had to give, we've given with strings attached. We've been scorekeepers. We hold resentments and frustration. We really haven't been the servant. Now, that's not to indict anyone who's listening tonight. I'm speaking to myself, too. It's forced us to take a really good look. What am I hanging on to? What am I afraid to let go of? What am I afraid I'll lose? If I picked up those things in my sack and looked at them and said, I wonder if anyone else is suffering from a similar wound. If I took everything behind me, everything that's happened a moment ago back, and I said, this is just for my experience. This has prepared me for this moment in time. I can serve another person more effectively because of what I've been through, because I know how that feels, and I know how that feels. Oh, my goodness, I can really empathize, empathy, put myself on their path, as Kevin Hall taught us. I can do this at a very high level because of what I've been through. The more traumatic, the more frustrating, the more prepared I am to address all kinds of circumstances with people and to be a wonderful servant of the people. So as we're looking at this tonight, we're going to want to say, okay, what would happen if? Let me just be willing to stick my toe in this water. If I took all of my experience and I put it over here in my heart, I stopped carrying it as a burden or as an excuse, and I just simply used it as a reference point. That as I start to connect with people, I listen differently, more attentively. I'm interested. I'm focused on them. I hear things that I didn't hear before and others rarely hear. And I ask questions that others may fail to ask. What might be different in my relationships and in my business? Well, as we begin this process, we started talking last week about looking for the good. Looking for what's important to a person. This is the first half of the process. We call it noticing a person. And it is a half because it's part of the biggest shift we'll make from focusing on ourselves to actually noticing other people. Be prepared as you do so that there may be times when you'll feel uncomfortable. You might feel like you're acting, like you're being less than genuine, even disingenuous, as though you're faking this. Just know that when you notice something that's important to another person, you're actually being aware. You can't fake awareness. Now, some people can use awareness to manipulate, but just becoming aware and verbalizing it because you want to notice another person is not manipulation, and it's not fake, and it's not phony. You're just being aware. Might feel uncomfortable at first. We notice or have seen more than we verbalize, and in this process, we're not just seeing it. We're actually saying it. Not just seeing it, we're actually saying it. We're verbalizing what we're seeing. This is something that is fun to practice. Ramona, thank you for that wonderful breakfast. Thank you for slicing up the grapefruit. Thank you for that delicious dinner. We want to be looking for those moments. These are precious moments. Important ones, sweetheart? Ramona's smiling and saying, yes. These are important things for people to hear, that we actually noticed what they're doing. The sacrifices they're making during the course of the day matter to us. We noticed and we verbalized. Make sure we have plenty of time to do this. also very highly likely that we'll notice things that aren't important to us. Those are the most important. Well, I expected a meal. Well, that's the one you want to notice. I wouldn't grow a beard like that one. That's the one we want to notice. I wouldn't have a tattoo like that one, or a tattoo at all. That's the one we want to notice. I wouldn't drive that car. That's the one we want to notice. That's what we want to notice. That which is most likely not important to us. Can we see how important it is to another person? This is the very first step of shifting from dragging in my sack to is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? It's just making this shift to starting to notice people. It's half the process. Once we're in this place, we are so set for a beautiful experience. And the beautiful experience transitions from noticing to caring, actually caring about another human being. This is a wonderful moment. When you look in the mirror one morning and you actually realize that you were emotionally moved by someone's experience, that you actually cared, that perhaps you even said a prayer for them, thought about them, wrote them a note. You actually cared. This is a beautiful time in a human being, for a human being to come to that moment of realization, to actually notice that somebody else matters. We can see this in people who've had children, be raising their children, and still come to this notice, this moment of awareness. Wow, I really do love my children. I thought I was a grouchy, mean, ornery mother. No, yeah, that's how I sometimes show up. But really, deep inside, I love my children. And we start to be able to pull on this natural affection that we have for another human being. We live in a time when people's hearts are just a tad bit cold. We're a little disconnected as human beings. We're not feeling this viscerally, this in the fibers of our being, the importance of other human beings. So we want to practice this so that it comes more and more alive in our life, because as it does, we become more and more alive. It's more joyful to be alive and to be able to feel and love other people. So we're going to transition now from noticing to caring. How do we show that we care? Some people might say, well, I buy new cars for them, or I buy jewelry for them, or I take them on trips, or I work hard and bring home a paycheck, or lots of things we say. I want to share with you the single greatest way that we can show that we care. The single greatest is the secret of success. It's giving them our time, and in a very special way. We're giving them our time to truly listen until they know that we know where they are and we didn't try to fix them. It's the gift of understanding. It's the greatest gift we can give another human being. I talk to high-powered people all the time, and I often hear stories like this. Well, I bought this and did this and did that, and the other night we just took a walk on the beach, and I think I got more points for holding her hand and walking on the beach than I ever get for bringing home a lot of money. I said, isn't that interesting? The greatest gift, to just be present and listen until someone feels understood. This is what it means to care. Really care. And we can do it with everyone we meet if we choose to. Now, there are some guidelines in the material. You've been through the coaching program, or you've been through this one before, but let's review them because they're important ones. We are going to start listening for doors to open up. It's like someone's in a rock fortress. I ask you to read this if you had a chance in the book. If you want a copy of the book, The Art of Connection. We're talking about this fortress. Everyone's got this fortress around them. And this big stone door opens up, and we get a little verbal hint about what's going on inside that world. And it's generally just a hint. People don't open up and just tell us. rarely. We're generally pretty guarded as people. You know, I've had kind of a, how you doing? It's been okay. It's been okay. What does been okay mean? Even when people say, great. Really? Really? Well, yeah, it's okay. Well, what does okay mean? People are not doing well. Now, some are doing great. But the vast majority are struggling right now. This is kind of a dark time. Jobs, economy, houses, savings, retirement plans, debt, relationship challenges. There's generally a lot going on. People have a lot of stories going on inside their world, and very few people who will listen. And we show up listening. Oh, are we rare. This is really rare. The instant we are listening and someone shares one of those little verbal hints and we say, tell me more about that, or share with me what you're thinking, or I'm just listening. The instant we say that, we separate ourselves from almost all of humanity, almost all. We become a very rare human being. We become a listener. Now, we step into their world. Just remember the guidelines. As you're getting ready to step into their world, you've got two suitcases. Remember the two suitcases? One is your baggage. This is your need to fix and justify and defend and be right. The other may be what you want to share. If it's with a teenager, you want to give them a lecture about, you know, dating properly. If it's a relationship, we may want to have them start doing something better, or working harder, or making more money. That might be our agenda. If it's a business, we may want to sell a product or an opportunity, whatever our agenda is. This is what we want to do with our two suitcases. Baggage, throw it over there in the trash can. You see it? Just throw it in the trash can. Get rid of it. Agenda, set it down by the door. We are not going to take our agenda into their world. This is a sacred place. If they're going to let us in, let us honor the space. Lastly, before we walk in, from scroll number two, we want to say silently and to ourselves, I love you. Now we walk in. We sit down in their world. Now this is just a visual for you to picture where you are. You're in their world listening to them. Now, to make this really simple, the gift you're giving is listening. It's not advice. When we think we have to come up with an answer to everybody's problem, we are going to be overwhelmed trying to figure out how to come up with an answer to everyone's problem. Relax. Sit into the conversation. Take a big, deep breath. They don't want your advice. They don't want the answer to world hunger. They just want someone who will listen to them until they feel understood. This is so simple to do if it weren't for the baggage that we sometimes sneak in, a little piece of it in our pocket, and we can't stop talking. We want to tell them our stories. When they tell us a cool story, we want to tell them an even cooler story. If they say something caustic, we want to get defensive. We want to shortcut the process and just tell them we know where they are. It doesn't matter if we know where they are. It doesn't matter if we know where they are. One, we're probably not accurate. Two, if we are, it doesn't matter. What matters is that they know that we know. That's the gift, is for them to feel understood, not for us to understand them. Everybody got the subtlety? It's for them to feel understood. We don't want to shortcut this process. We don't want to be less than integrous. We want to truly just be in their world and just listen. That's the gift we give. Now, here's some guidelines. We talked about this during your personal coaching or in the group that you attended. When you are listening to someone and they're sharing, when they stop sharing, don't start talking. Just count. 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. Okay, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. What are we doing? In the world in which we live, people almost do defensive talking. They take very short breaths, because if they take a longer one than that, the other person will jump in with their story, their agenda, their situation, trying to fix them, give them advice. And most people are not listening to what's being said. They're just listening for an opening to share what they're formulating in their mind. Their mind is totally tied up, coming up with an answer, instead of being totally empty and available to listen. It is so easy for anyone to be empty and just listen. However, we complicate it by our baggage. So that's why we leave the baggage in the trash can outside. Just listen. We become safe because when they stop talking, there's no threat that we're going to pounce on them like a fox on a mouse. We're not going to do it. We create a safe place, and the safest place we create is when they get done talking. The moment of silence that we create is their signal, our signal to them, that we're not here to do anything but listen. They go, like, aren't you saying anything? Oh, I'm just listening. Tell me a little bit more about this. Okay. It's like, you sure? Yeah. Everybody's got a story. Very few listeners. And today, and I've said this 100 times, the walls have never been so high, but they've never been so thin. It doesn't take as much to have someone go, okay, you want to listen? Let me share. We just get to be the listener. And as they share, we just listen for additional doors. Gosh, I wonder what they meant by that. We're curious. We're interested. Ooh, they said something about their aunt and uncle. I wonder what's going on there. Tell me more about your aunt and uncle. Tell me more about this. Really, what happened then? And while we're interested in listening, something may trigger our empathy. All that experience that we brought to the surface, we brought up here as a reference point, it may trigger. If it is, it's not because you're looking for it. It's because it naturally floats to the surface. Wow. When that happens, do you ever lose sleep? You ever been so excited you couldn't even sleep at night? Questions that come out of your own life experience. I wonder if they're having this experience. It's the second way we create the safe place, by asking questions to determine if we are truly understanding where they are. Do you ever feel this way when that happens? Well, not quite. Well, share with me what happens for you. It's like, okay, and they do. This is a wonderful gift to give a human being, to create this safe place. Being safe because there's a space when they get done talking that we're not going to cloud this. We're not going to jump into it. We're not going to pollute it. We'll just keep listening. The questions we ask are born out of our experience to help us better understand what they're going through until they feel absolutely understood. And it's almost like, we're safe. They don't need a wall to protect them. We're not going to throw up on them. We're not going to be strategic with them. We're not going to tell them our stories. We're not going to beat them up with ideas and advice. We're safe. Okay, walls come down. Yay! How often does someone truly feel safe in a conversation? I would tell you seldom. But you become the person who creates the safe place, and you will become a rare human being. It is attractive to be in this space with someone. And when you get done with this moment, and they feel comfortable, they feel safe, and they've shared their story. I was with a client yesterday morning who was saying, what do I do? Yesterday afternoon. He said, what do I do? I want to give them advice. I want to solve all their problems. I want to tell them who to call and what to do. I said, don't go there. That's not your obligation. Your commitment was to help them feel understood. First and foremost, you want to, at this point in the conversation, be able to reach out your hand, shake it, and say, thank you for sharing. Thank you. I'll be thinking about you. You'll be in my prayers. comment I made this morning to someone. Truly, they'll be in my prayers tonight. That's where we want to be. Because if we can see that as our destination, not only will we live people feeling valued, intrinsically valued, we're going to watch something magical occur that's going to be natural and authentic. We're going to find out things that we may actually be able to do. Gosh, I've got a product that would solve that problem. I've got a business opportunity they could really use. I know someone that they may want to talk to. That could happen. But we don't even go here till the walls are down and we've heard the story. And again, at this point, we could shake hands and part ways. And we will have left them better than we found them. That's the gift we're leaving. If we got that tonight, if this really resonated with you, that's a gift I give people I talk to, and I just leave everybody I meet better than I found them. I'm looking for good and verbalizing it. That may be all I have time for. If I have time to listen for a moment, I listen. This is what you're going to want to do. Now, second half, if, big if, when the walls came down, they shared, and there's something I could do to bless. Okay. Should I share? This is a really critical moment of decision. I pondered this for a long, long time, and I was rewarded with a wonderful dream on the topic. Many of you have heard me tell the dream. Let's just explore it one more time and see if you can see the wisdom in what I learned. Because I was concerned about us listening just for an agenda to share, throw up, and violate everything we've done so far. In the dream, it was very profound because I'm standing on the top of a mountain. I've been stepping into the world of a man who's in an emotional prison. They do that in dreams. He couldn't leave the top of the mountain. That's where he was stuck. He was stuck there. I stepped into his world and created a safe place, and his walls came down. And when his walls came down and I didn't pounce on him, the word is trust. Trust is established. Stephen and Mark Covey said, The Speed of Trust, wrote the book, great book. I would get it for your library. Highly recommend it. He said, when trust is high, speed is fast, and cost is low. When trust is low, speed is slow, and costs are high. So we build trust. We're integrous. We truly are walking our talk. Two, our intentions are pure. We want mutual benefit. Three, we have got the ability to listen and care. And the results of what we've done speak for themselves. We've created this result. We're now trusted. Well, in that dream, this man said, can you see down there? And we looked down there, and there was a shoreline and the ocean. And there was a little harbor. And he said, can you see the sailboat in the harbor? And I could see the sailboat. It was way down there. But it was still, I could tell, it was a big boat, maybe a 40-foot sailboat. He said, I need to move my boat to a safe harbor. To a safe harbor, and I can't do it. Would you move it for me? And I remember saying yes, and I remember feeling pretty good that I would agree to do that for the stranger that I had just met. You see, we're really not strangers. We're really not. We're all brothers and sisters in this human existence, all tied together. He was my brother. I just hadn't seen him before. I hadn't known him before. But he was now a new brother. He trusted me. I had served him. And he asked me if I would go move his sailboat. So I agreed. I went down, got in the sailboat, moved it from harbor to harbor. I still have this tremendously clear vision of sitting on the stern. I'm also sitting up on the side, on the starboard side of the boat. And I watch myself flip over backwards into the water. Then I'm in the water. It's crystal clear. This is a wonderful, beautiful harbor that's protected from the ocean. And I remember sitting again on the back of the boat. I'm back at the stern now. You do this in dreams, right? And I had this moment. And the moment was very simply this. This is where I would put my boat. This is where I would put my boat. And I knew I had served him. I knew in the fibers of my being that I had served him. And I started back up the mountain. I remember approaching him. He's standing up in the... As he sees me approaching, you could see him go, just his whole body relaxed. We now know that it was mirror neurons. His mirror neurons were picking up my energy, everything in my facial expressions, my body motion, everything was saying I had honored him. You see, with all the muscles on our face and in our body, we can't fake caring. The person may not pick it up, but their mirror neurons will. It'll send a message to their body for them to be a little cautious. His just went, relaxed. And I walked up and I shared with what I'd done and I concluded with, this is where I'd put my boat. And he was so pleased and so was I. And I woke up. And I'm lying in bed and going, wow, that was really vivid. I wonder what that means. And that's when I got the clarity. His boat was his dream, his hopes, his dreams. Many of you deal in businesses that deal with people's hopes and dreams. We're going to want to protect them because they truly are often looking to us. What would you do? How would you do it? We want to make sure that we're honoring their hopes and their dreams, that we are putting it in a safe harbor where we would put our own sailboat, where we would put our own dreams, if we are that convicted about what we want to share. And we want to share it. You'll want to share it. But you don't want to share it if you're not feeling this, because it's not going to work. Because this person's mirror neurons is going to pick up your insincerity, your desire to manipulate. It's all going to be there. And frankly, only weak people are going to succumb consistently to that kind of a tactic. Strong people, powerful people, capable people, financially capable people are not going to respond to that kind of technique. They're going to want to feel good at a visceral level before they make that decision. Well, if they can feel that, who is there who will not buy my goods, who feels my love, Og said in Scroll 2, who feels it? That's going to open the heart for them to feel it. If that's true, then our next question is timing. Is this the right time? Have I shared enough for today? Sometimes we have. Even when we're talking to a teenager that we want to instruct, we may have said enough for the day. Sometimes it's wise for us to say, let me ponder this for a little while. Can we meet tomorrow morning? Can we meet later tonight? I want to ponder this for a little bit. I sure appreciate you sharing. I don't want to just jump in this. It's possible. On the other hand, they may be absolutely ready to hear it right then. They may need what you have, and they may have made it clear that that's truly what they want. If it's the right time, then share. And when we share, we want to gain agreement. Gain agreement. Now, I'll give you the visual for gaining agreement. You're standing in their world, right? Your baggage is in the trash can out on the porch, and your agenda's on the porch. You're going to take them by the arm and walk out their door, reach down and pick up your agenda, walk over the bridge that you built into your world and have them sit down in your world. You'll open up your agenda. Don't pull it all out, just the part that will serve them. And this is when you get to share your story. This is the place. We share your story. You might share the story of another. And then you can share with them what it is that you would choose to share. Now, quite often, when we're in this space, we're going to encounter another door. We call these doors objections. Objections are very special doors. We've been in their world. The wall seemed to come down. There was a safe place. It seemed appropriate to share, and we have shared, and still there was something that wasn't quite cleaned out. this wall didn't come up until we got to this point. But it's here. So we take them by the arm, we walk out of our world, over the bridge, and sit back down in their world. And we treat the objection for what it is. It's simply a door that's opening up into another room in their world. It's not a question that demands an answer. We don't answer objections. Objections are statements that demand questions. Remember, intrinsically validating will help me better understand. Share with me what you're thinking. What has been your experience? If someone you want to share something with them or sell something, don't have time, money, energy, I'm not a salesperson, you hear all kinds of objections. We want to answer them, dismiss them, get past them, overcome them. How about if we just step into their world and see what we can learn? Let's discover what the story is in their life with that issue and see if we can serve them. If they feel totally understood, they may solve the objection themselves. If it's, I don't feel comfortable selling, and you're trying to share something with them where they would be enrolling or selling someone, there could come a time in that conversation where you ask a question like, how long have you felt this way? All my life. Have you missed any opportunities because of this? I'm sure I have. Do you want to take this to your grave? Not really. Would you like to take it on? I'll work by your side. I'd like to finally take this one on. Scary, huh? Yeah. It's okay. What's it been like talking to me? Comfortable? Let me show you how to honor people this way. Don't throw up on them. Don't burn bridges. Don't be strategic. Don't beat down the wall with a sledgehammer. Have natural, authentic conversations. Care about them and meet their needs. Do you know how to do that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Any other questions? And when there are no more questions, the question is, are you ready to get started? It's not a close. And almost every sale where we're doing intrinsic validation to connect, create trust, whatever we're doing, there's no close to it. We're not ending something. We're just beginning. We're just beginning the relationship. Everything to hear has been a decision whether they want to do it. Every decision is whether you want to do it with them. It's a beginning. Would you like to begin? What do I need to do? Well, to begin, we do this, this, and this. Let's start with this one. Would that be okay? Sure. You work your way through it. It's a beginning. I'd like us all to let go of the word close. I'm going to close the sale. Now, there are some transactional sales. There's no question about that. But I just believe that's been a little bit of a concern. People feel like they're getting closed. Well, we need to sign a contract, and we need to get a check so that we can begin delivering these services, so that we can get this in here and start getting that programmed and get this happening so that we can generate the savings we've talked about in the first quarter. Let's get started so we can begin so that next on Q2 or Q3, we can start to see the results of this in your life and in your business. Oh, that'd be good. We're just getting started. We're not closing and I'm leaving. We're just getting started. Now, last thing for intrinsic validation. There is a tendency, if we're uncomfortable talking to people, and we begin this process, that this just becomes a prolonged conversation. We are nervous to hold someone accountable. We're nervous to ask them for the check. We're nervous to even ask them to begin. So we just stay in this endless conversation. It's not for that purpose. Intrinsic validation is about accuracy. It's about clarity. You are stepping into that world so that you can truly understand where they are. That's the gift you're giving them. What's the gift you get? You get to find out whether you want to do business with them if it's a business transaction. Do I want to do business with this person? Do I want to invest in them? Do I want to be serving them? Do I want to be programming this for them, selling this to them, working with? Do I want to be with them? It's about clarity. It's honoring. Because we may discover, not often, but we may discover that we're dealing with a rattlesnake. A rattlesnake. And promised, a rattlesnake, if you put it in your sleeping bag and you climb in later that night, it will bite you. Because that's what rattlesnakes do. We should never be surprised when we're bit by a rattlesnake. We want to be accountable not to put them in our sleeping bag. Now, that's just a metaphor for just not doing business. Or if we do business differently. We hold them differently. You hold a rattlesnake much differently than you hold a garter snake or a rat snake. Very differently. So that it doesn't bite you. Got to be very, very careful with a rattlesnake. Now, I'm not suggesting there are a lot of rattlesnakes, but I've encountered some. And it's been my experience when I find one to just cut it off quickly. Because there is no reason to be in business with a rattlesnake. Eventually, you will get bit. So you just get out. It's just clarity. That's all it is. So we're looking at intrinsic validation. This is not about naive kindness. This is not about being sappy and soft. It's about being crystal clear. It's about noticing what's important to a person. It's about stepping into their world and listening. It's about being a safe place and creating a safe place and having walls come down and thanking them. It's building friends everywhere you go and with everyone you meet and meeting more and more people and having more and more friends. And sometimes when we've made the friend, that's when the walls are down. They may need what we have. And so we gain agreement and share it. This is about clarity, not naive softness or etc. So have some fun with this. When we talked about the measurements yesterday, just a couple of items on these measurements. The two most common that are out of balance, respectful and just and fair. Be kind to yourself on the just and fair measurement. I've had a number of occasions in the last week to work with people who have this measurement, just and fair, in the section on connection. It's orange. And it's typically, at least in their case, it's most often, quite often, family related. Just had that experience this morning. A good person dealing with family members and having to kind of eat it sometimes. Can't really say things that he would like to say. Because it would, in fact, cause challenges in a family. That takes a lot of strength. Just be careful that the avoidance of confrontation in a family setting isn't carried over into a business setting, where we let people slide and we don't hold them accountable and we eventually have to deal with the fallout. Just be careful not to do that. If you're hearing yourself saying, well, right now it's just so stressful, and if we let them go, and then we got to train somebody new, and I don't have time for that, every time you finally make that decision, every time you'll say, why didn't I do this sooner? Because when it finally blows up, the promise is it'll always be at the most inopportune time. So be clear. If someone is performing in a way that is unsatisfactory, it's important that that be handled properly, that there be clarity, there be accountability. Intrinsic validation, aren't we supposed to be nice? It's not about being nice, it's about being clear. Yes, we're kind, but not naively kind. We're aware, we're compassionate. We see their pain and suffering. We may, in some situations, when we see it, choose not to engage in the solution because it would not serve us or them. Or we may not really have the time. We would have to take away from another place in our life that's actually more important. good and better. Good and better. We choose the best. Might be our family. So just and fair, if it's showing up and it's with family members, sometimes that's just life. We get to pick our friends. We don't get to pick our relatives. We just don't carry it on to the business world. The other one is respectful. It's the second measurement. We have a tendency to get intimidated by people who look successful, especially if we're feeling less than. It can cause us to create chicken lists. We're uncomfortable talking to the very people we should probably be connecting with because we feel inadequate. I have this measurement. I'm dealing with it all the time. All the time. People say, oh, there's no way, Dave. You don't deal with that. I deal with it all the time. Consciously, stop down, say, I love you. I say to myself, nothing is as it appears. I don't need to be wise, read all the greatest books. I don't need to have all the solutions. I'm just going to be the one who listens. And the one who listens always serves. So take this with you this week. Practice this at a very high level. And next week when we come together, we're going to go into the single greatest challenge. This is the greatest secret of success. Next, we're going to go into the single greatest challenge to success. And the good news is we're going to be dealing with your greatest gift, one of your greatest gifts, which is the ability to vividly visualize. How do we use this ability in our mind? Our mind is just going all the time, constantly, obsessively thinking. We get carried away all the time. We miss... Ramona could just chuckle over there. Because half the time, if she's not driving with me, I'll miss the turnoff. Because I've got something on my mind. I'm thinking about something. I'm somewhere else. This is a gift if we're using it constructively. There are five ways to use it. We'll start going through those over the next couple of weeks. There are at least two ways we can use it that are very destructive. We'll get to understand those. And 98% of those with this gift, which 97% have, 98% use it destructively. So come back next week prepared to take this on. Some of you have heard this message before. This would be a good one to come back because right now we are just really frustrated as a society because very few things are turning out the way we expect them to. The expectation is created by this vivid visualization, the way we're using it. If we're disappointed in life, we're going to want to reevaluate how we're using our vivid visualization to create expectation. We want it to ignite the manifestation of ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges that light up our passion and drive our action. I want to show you how to do that in great detail. This is the reason why I wrote the book. All these other principles are really key, and this is the greatest secret of success we've been talking about. But this one next week, this is what drove me to write the book, to help everyone understand how do you actually create? How do you use your mind? How do you do the physical part? How do you have the tangible reality occurring in your life? I'm excited to be with you next week to share that. And until then, practice intrinsic validation with all your might. Be the rare one who listens. Ramona's got a question for us. Oh, we're going to stay on scroll number two. Let's stay on scroll number two this week to support us. We'll shift scrolls after our session next week. Thank you, sweetheart. So scroll number two, I'll greet this day with love in my heart. Spend some time with this one. And know if you're having a challenge in your life today, for those who are, go back and read this scroll where Og says, and what will I do? How will I do this? He talks about loving the rain, not just the sunshine. Loving the darkness, not just the rain, not just the warmth. The darkness, not just the light. That we're going to have challenges, sadness. So not just the happiness. He tells us to embrace our challenges. This is really tough counsel to give to someone in the middle of a challenge. But it's like, let's not ever go through this one again. Let's really learn it this time. Let's really learn from it. And come out triumphant. Some of them seem to be lasting a little longer than we'd expected, because we're going to talk about that next week. This is how we come prepared to connect with another human being. because we have shown up in our own challenges and overcome. We have the experience to have the empathy to stand on another person's path and serve them. This is the secret. All the challenges we've had or are going through will be used to bless the lives of others if we choose to use them that way. May we do so. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy Scroll 2. We'll be back with you next Tuesday night. Thanks.